Hi, I'm Mark Budd.
And I'm Jair Brooks Davis.
And we're from Mark and Jair Explain Sports.
This is a tripod production.
The following is a tripod production. Do not attempt to adjust your dial. Mark Budd and Jair Brooks Davis, two friends growing up in the Big Apple, two friends who became sports writers at the top of their craft. Mark, the assistant sports editor of Drexel University's The Triangle. Jair, the color commentator and reporter at Curry College. On their own, they give their own unique insights. However, together, Mark and Jair explain sports.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 2 of Mark and Jair Explain Sports. We're your hosts. I'm Mark Budd.
And I'm Jair Brooks Davis.
Last week was a lot of fun getting everything started, and I'm excited for it to start again, Jair.
Yeah, Mark, you know, I miss talking to you, man. I miss seeing you in person. I'm very sorry about with what's going on with quarantine, and you know, my heart goes out to a lot of people that are suffering, and you know, my heart goes out to the people that lost a lot of loved ones, Mark.
Yeah, just to add to that, before we start the show, I just want to thank all the health workers that are putting their lives at risk to make sure we're all okay. And I know people that have been affected, and this is a really scary and sad time. You have people like Karlanthony Towns' mom. I really hate to hear that. It's awful. And just, I think the most important thing is that we have each other right now, just to lean on each other, and that this isn't a time where you should keep to yourself. You should reach out to friends, enjoy your family. This shouldn't be a time where you want to be alone, because it's a scary time and you want to have all the support that you can.
Absolutely. You know, make sure that you text someone, make sure that you call someone. I've actually been around texting and calling many different people that, you know, I don't really talk to like as much as maybe I should, but you know, make sure that you check up on many people out there. And also, folks, don't forget, wash your hands, use gloves, wear protective masks. And that's the way that we can flatten the curve. If you want things to come back to normal as quick as possible, you have to do all the right things and take all the precautionary measures as much as you can.
Yeah, like I've seen a lot of people not doing the right thing. Like I was in the grocery store the other day, and there was just a woman, no gloves, no mask. I was like, what? I was all decked out, mask and gloves, and this woman just had nothing. I was like, what is that? What's that about?
Mark, the other day I went to Stop and Shop, and the woman, like, I saw plenty of different people, men and women, you know, walking around with no mask, no gloves on. And I was like, man, you're pretty much naked out here, like, with all the precautionary things that we're all being told on what to do. You know, I was uncomfortable, like, you know, no gloves, no mask, especially in a time like this. Mm-mm.
It's just not what you should be doing right now. But moving on to sports.
Yes, sir.
I know you are excited about this possibility, so let's talk about chance of baseball being played in Arizona.
Well, Mark, you know, it's been reported of you know, baseball being played in Arizona. You know, all 30 teams, I saw all the makeshift leagues. You know, I'll be pissed off to see my Mets in a division with the Houston Astros, the Washington Nationals, and like the Philadelphia Phillies, I believe, was in that. But, you know, hey, what can I say? I'd just be thankful for baseball to come back this season, Mark. I'm telling you.
A lot of the things that I've heard is that some players might not even want to go. I know Zach Wheeler on the Phillies said he would not be interested in doing it. He doesn't like the idea. Some guys have liked the idea, like Troy Tulowitzki. So what's going to happen if the guys are making a lot of money, like Gerrit Cole or someone like that, decides, you know what, I'm not going to risk my life or my family. I'm going to sit back. What does the MLB do then? Well, if they just have like players who are on minimum level contracts playing, I don't think that would be good for the league. But also, baseball would still be on. It just wouldn't be the talent that we want to see. What do you think of that, Jair? The chance of not having the best talent out there.
Well, I mean, if you have guys that don't want to play because of precautionary things or because of their families, I'd say in an instance like that, it could be similar to 1995 when there was the lockout from 1994 going into 1995. You could have, well, you could call it maybe some replacement players, for example. Maybe you could, I mean, you know, if Wheeler doesn't want to play, you know, the Phillies in a case like that, What if they called up maybe some of their prospects up and, you know, gave them the opportunity?
I think that's exciting for them. It's just, I think it depends on who really wants to play. In my opinion, I think only like half the league would want to play because it's such a scary time that if they don't have, if school, if you can't go to school, why should you be able to play baseball? I mean, I'm all for them playing baseball. I just think that a lot of the players in their mind are going to not agree with it because no one else is allowed to have to do their everyday life. So why should they? Not that they don't want to, it's just they're taking a risk, you know, just all just for money. But I don't know. I could see why some players won't be into the idea of it. I can also see why they would want to play. But I saw things like players would have to sit in the stands during innings. They couldn't sit, which is good because there'll be social distancing. Everyone will stay at a hotel. They'll all be in the same area. But for 30 teams to be in Arizona, there's not that many stadiums where they can all play, right? I mean, how would they do it? They would have to, each team would have to play a game at the same arena?
Well, Mark, you can't forget that, well, you know, there's a lot of spring training teams that actually play in Arizona. You can't, well, for spring training. Also, there's a lot, well, I also heard that Florida was up for discussion of having a bunch of teams play over there too. I know that Jeff Passan spoke to ESPN the other day, and he said that he was talking to different players about it. And, you know, some players, you can't forget about, like, you know, they want to be around their children. They want to be around their family. And, you know, you can't forget about them having a chance to, well, you can't forget that if they actually do play in Arizona or if they play in Florida or wherever, they're probably not going to see their families for quite a while too, because, you know, they because maybe their families can't come because you know, teams could only take a certain amount of people, obviously because of quarantine and stuff like that. But it's an exciting topic, but, you know, we just got to wait and we got to see how a lot of these things play out. Well, we got to see how these things play out. I know that some baseball players are excited and happy about a possibility, and I've heard that some players are not excited.
Mm-hmm. I also heard the possibility of them possibly playing in Japan, which I think is an interesting idea. I don't know if I'd be – because they'll be in a different country. I just don't know how much interest that would – especially for the players to go all the way to Japan, another country. That I feel like that puts them at even more of a risk for the coronavirus.
Well, I'm not too keen on them playing – in a whole nother country right now, you know.
No, neither am I. I'm just saying that was an idea that was floated out there.
That's like the best idea. I know that, for example, I think it was Jay Williams. Yeah, Jay Williams, I think that he came up with an idea of, you know, the NBA, for example, should come up, they should be playing the NBA playoffs on cruise ships. And for that idea, I was like, wait a minute. Like, if cruise ships were a major issue for COVID-19 right now, then why should we be having Major League Baseball players? I mean, not Major League Baseball players. NBA players playing on cruise ships. I don't, like, you know, I don't get that, especially if it was a hotspot, you know.
How does it even work, though? Like, playing on a cruise ship, the boat's moving the whole time, guys can get seasick. I think that'd be disastrous.
No. I mean, I believe that they could park, like, you could dock a cruise ship and it could just stay, and it could stay right there.
Oh, they dock it, but
I mean, yeah.
I thought he meant moving. I was like, how's that going
to
work?
Yeah, no. But back to baseball, though, we're going to see more on how it plays out. If I could see the earliest chance of baseball being played, even with no fans in the stadium, and also I'm going to get back to you on something that you said, Mark. I could see the earliest being maybe early June, at least, mm-hmm. or
because Trump said for the next 2 weeks at least it's still shut down.
So. Yeah, I can see early June being a possibility of them starting baseball again. I could see that if we're lucky, later May, things could start back up again, at least like spring training or workouts, if we're lucky. But I could see earlier June being like early to mid June being a real possibility at this point.
So moving on.
Well, wait, one more thing.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, no, just one thing about the stadiums is that you keep, like, don't forget, like, you know, Chase Field. You could do games at like 11:30 in the morning, and then you could do another game at 4, and then you could do like another game at 7 through 8 that would be four games, two teams.
Yeah, that's not to take into account if they're playing spring training at the spring training stadiums. It's going to be like 100 degrees out there, so
yeah,
that's not exactly safe for a whole Major League Baseball game.
That's true, but you know, out there in the Southwest, I should say, I mean, you know, you got like a team like the Texas Rangers playing. I think that, well, the Texas Rangers are actually moving in, so. They're going into a new stadium, I believe. So excuse me for that one. I was just saying, like Chase Fields, for example, and also don't forget they have a retractable roof. So that's four games being played. If they actually didn't do something in Chase Fields,
mm-hmm.
they could do three so or four on. Games. Yeah, but moving on. I'm sorry, Mark.
No, you're okay, Jay. So moving on, let's talk about what everyone's excited for, which is the upcoming Michael Jordan documentary and about the Bulls, the Last Dance, which debuts on Sunday, I believe.
Sunday, yes.
Mm-hmm. 9 p.m. Is it going to be on Netflix or ESPN?
I believe it is going to be presented on ESPN.
Okay. Because I read Netflix, so I might just been.
Originally it was Netflix, Mark, but what happened is that due to COVID and no basketball being played right now, I know that LeBron James, for example, was pushing for this documentary to be given to the public as soon as possible. I believe that it was supposed to come out this summer.
So what are you most excited for, The Last Dance?
Well, Mark, I spoke to some people actually, and they've heard a little bit about it, and they know some people who've worked on it, and they said, man, this is really like something special. And this person also told me, he said, Jair, like, you know, Jair, I'm telling you right now, like, I feel bad for you that you never got the chance to see this. You know, even speaking to my mother about it, she said, hey, look, I remember hearing about Michael Jordan back in the 90s, and it was really something to watch. I'm just excited for everything, to see what goes behind, to see what goes on behind the scenes. Just knowing about topics and conversations that, you know, Michael Jordan used to have with Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman, seeing some of the team drama and, you know, seeing what it really takes to win a championship and stuff like that. I've, like, for example, from my experience, I've worked with the Curry College men's ice hockey team, and, like, you know, even being behind the scenes and seeing what goes on behind the scenes and how it translates onto the ice, for example, it's really interesting, Mark. What are you excited for?
Well, personally, I'm super excited to see stuff about Dennis Rodman. It's like how crazy the guy is. I think he's hilarious to watch. And I just hope that they do an inside scoop on him. And I know a lot of it's going to be about Michael Jordan, obviously, as it should be. But because they're going to talk about the team, I just hope that Dennis Rodman gets a lot of airtime, because I think he's hilarious. And I just love I love the way he played. He out-hustled everybody, and he wasn't skilled. He just worked hard than everybody else, and that's why he's a Hall of Famer. He wasn't a good offensive player, but he was a rebounder and a really good defensive player, and he wasn't taller than most people. He was like 6'7", 6'8", and he went against centers and still locked them down. So I just love Dennis Rodman.
How do you think Dennis Rodman would do in today's NBA, especially with supposedly the NBA going into more small ball style?
I think he'd be what Draymond Green wishes he could be. I know you don't like that because you're a Draymond Green lover, but
hey, look, Draymond Green, he works hard to get to the NBA, and I know that
everyone works hard to get to the NBA.
That's true, but you know, look, he can't, like, he, like, Draymond Green had no effect on where he got drafted to.
He didn't, but I also think he's one of the most overrated players in the NBA.
Well, he doesn't look that great without Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and I'll admit to that one.
But anyway, going back to the documentary.
Are you a Jordan fan?
Huh? No, actually, I'm not. I'm a LeBron fan. So,
what do you dislike about Michael Jordan?
Huh?
What do you dislike about Michael Jordan?
I just think Michael Jordan was, well, while he was. Obviously, he's one of the best players of all time. I just think, and I like his attitude on the court where he kind of, like, similar to Kobe, they just were very aggressive, very focused and serious and talked a lot of trash, and they backed it up too, which LeBron doesn't do as much as them. But I dislike Jordan because I think he was selfish and he wasn't as outgoing as he could have been, like the guys like LeBron are today. I just don't love his personality as much, but I really have a lot of respect for him, so I don't dislike him. I just like LeBron better.
I respect Michael for his...
But what I really respect about him is how he didn't make his varsity team at first, and now he's like considered one of the best players of all time. Like, that just shows how hard the guy worked. I know you said Draymond Green, or Michael Jordan, the perfect example.
I mean, for me, Michael Jordan is... He's obviously the greatest. I mean, I think I call him the greatest shooting guard of all time. You know, he's a cutthroat killer. He really is. Mm-hmm. But I believe that one thing, what takes away from me with Michael Jordan is that I feel like he did not speak up too well on social or political issues.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to, yeah. That's where LeBron stands out compared to everybody else, honestly. And the way LeBron handles himself, it's just, there's no, you never hear about LeBron doing anything wrong. Not that Michael Jordan did. It's just LeBron, he lives the perfect lifestyle. Never in trouble, speaks up on things when he needs to, but never causes problems. I just think Jordan, you hear about problems with his teammates. He like punched Steve Kerr in the face one time at practice. Like, you never have heard that about LeBron.
I mean, you know, teammates will always have disagreements, but I mean, in that case, you're right. I know, for example, Horace Grant, like him and Horace, they did not get, I know that they had their outs with each other, and Bill Cartwright, I heard that like Jordan, I read somewhere that Michael Jordan used to throw bad passes purposely during practice at Bill Cartwright and call him old man Bill, and Bill Cartwright couldn't do this or that anymore. And
well, there's also the thing with Isaiah Thomas, when he wouldn't let Isaiah Thomas be on the dream team because they had a disagreement.
Well,
and that's just like a perfect example. Like,
well,
Isaiah Thomas was good enough to be on the dream team. Just because Michael Jordan had a disagreement doesn't mean he shouldn't have been on the team.
Well, that one was sort of different, though. And I mean, I'm not...
Not really.
I mean, there's a lot more in-depth. Like, this is what I have to say. Personally, I think Isaiah Thomas is a nice guy. Shout out to Isaiah. I think that he's a very nice guy. Ran into him one time, talked to him about this or that in terms of questioning and being within the media, and he was very nice towards me. He's a very pleasant person. But when it comes to this whole entire dream team thing, Mark, you have to remember, well, I mean, in that dream team documentary that came out in 2012, I believe it wasn't just Isaiah. It was like Scottie Pippen did not want him. Larry Bird, I don't think, didn't want him, because you can't forget that Isaiah Thomas, in a way, sort of backed up Dennis Rodman when Dennis Rodman said something like, if Larry Bird were African-American, he would just be another good guy playing in the NBA. But because he's Caucasian, maybe the media hyped him up. That's what Dennis Rodman said at the time, I believe it was.
You probably love Dennis Rodman because he's crazy. He's unpredictable. And that's why I'm excited for the documentary, is Dennis Rodman, honestly.
And Well, it also goes into that bad boy. Well, that I saw that in that Bad Boys Pistons 30 for 30 that came out years ago. That I know, I heard Isaiah backed him up, and also Magic Johnson was on the dream team. So this goes way more than Michael. Like at the time,
yeah, and they had that. Didn't they have that like video a few years ago of Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas like crying and like.
They made up from that time back in 1991, 92, as 90, 91, 92, as they were selecting the team. And also, Mark, I believe that Isaiah Thomas said some questionable things about Magic at the time, back in like 92, 91, when Magic announced that he contracted HIV. And I believe that Isaiah said some questionable things. And don't forget, they were friends before that. And, you know, I guess that in a way, Magic didn't have, like, at that time, like, you know, as he was getting healthier and he was able to make the team, I guess that when they were asking questions about who else could be on the team, I'm sure that he didn't have, like, some nice things to say about Isaiah. You know, Magic, Bird, Jordan, Pippen, I'm sure that they didn't have anything positive to say about Isaiah Thomas. And also not to mention of how Isaiah walked off the court in 1991 in that Eastern Conference Finals when the Bulls finally beat them. So Jordan had a bad taste in his mouth when it came down to Isaiah Thomas. And so snubbing Isaiah back in 92 from the Dream Team was not all on Jordan. I believe that it was like a good chunk of people.
Not to rip on Isaiah, but I do have to mention his tenure as the GM of the New York Knicks wasn't exactly great.
It wasn't exactly great, but I mean,
it was a disaster, man. Signed Eddie Curry.
I mean, you're right about.
I'll mention Eddie Curry a little bit later, but
I'm just saying that when it comes down to Michael Jordan, you know, I don't blame him for that Isaiah one. There was a long list about Isaiah. Isaiah had his problems too from time to time.
Yeah, he definitely did. Isaiah has been in the news for the wrong reasons many times, but like you said, he seems like a nice guy, so I'll give you that. But moving on, before I move on, I do want to mention that next week, as we were mentioning Jordan, me and Jay are going to have a debate on who's better, LeBron James or Michael Jordan. Obviously, I'm choosing LeBron James, and Jay decides who wants to choose Michael Jordan.
We'll go into a lot of depth about that one, Mark.
But what I did want to talk about today is, I know my dad talked to us about this, is the NBA season tickets. Obviously, we're not going to see the rest of the season the way it should have gone because of the coronavirus. So fans like my dad who have season tickets are wondering why they haven't gotten their money back. Jair, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that the NBA should be willing to at least give their fans their money back. That's my stance on it.
And some people have a theory, not naming names, whose theory this is, that the NBA is holding this money and using it for other reasons. Like, for example, they may have all the fans' money from this season and they're just holding it to use it for other reasons, but when really they should just give it back. You think that could be the case?
I think it could be the case. The money, I think, could be used for many different reasons. I think that, I mean, for, like, who knows, you know, maybe potentially it could be used for the workers. I have no clue. Maybe they could put it into that pool also. I'm not too sure, Bark.
But also, if the season ticket holders are paid money for the season and they're not getting what they paid for, they should get their money back. There's no reason why the NBA shouldn't have paid them back, you know? But it's not like this season, all the games that have been missed are going to be played. Even if the season comes back, it probably will be like a few regular season games and then the playoffs, and it's most likely going to be without fans.
I mean, I think that, yeah, season tickets.
I saw a survey that said 70% say that they would watch sports even if it was played without fans, which means people are okay not going to the games. They just want to watch sports. So it sounds like people don't even want to go to the games right now, which I don't blame them.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, who would want to go to a game right now? You know, it's not, I mean, look, I'm trying to refrain from being outside just as much, like, as much as possible, Mark. I'm telling you. So, I mean.
Well, you're a germaphobe before this, but now I feel like your germaphobe is just on another level right now.
I mean, look, I'm on edge, Mark. I'm on edge. But yeah, I think that, but Mark, I just think that NBA season ticket holders should get an opportunity to get their money back.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. You know, I think that if basketball does come back, I say I think that if they made a plan to do, like, let's say a week of training camp and team workouts and stuff like that, and then I feel like they should immediately go right into the playoffs. That's how I feel.
Definitely. Jair, it's been a pleasure once again doing this week two. This has been a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to keep doing this, man.
Thank you, man. You too. I'm glad that you called me up to do this. You know, and shout out to Tay on the track, actually.
Yeah, we love the intro. The opening beat is sick. I love it.
Also, followers, fans, make sure that you follow us on our Instagram and our Facebook at EX Sports Drexel. That's EX SPORTS DREXEL. Make sure that you give us a follow, subscribe to us, and, you know, just keep up and just stay updated and, you know, keep listening to our podcast.
We look forward to talking with you guys next week. And I'm looking forward to telling Jair why LeBron is better than Michael Jordan.
Sounds good to me.
To listen to more Tripod Productions, go to thetriangle.org/podcasts.